This is the Leadership and Insurance Podcast, brought to you by FinPro Search Partners.
Insurance companies are businesses and they need to look for the long term and be sustainable.
We went from 0 to 1 and now it's going from 1 to 100.
Insurance as a concept, as a kind of service, is brilliant. The execution is what we're looking at now.
I think the companies that are going to succeed are the ones that are going to understand and master the art of intent.
When we talk about innovation, we lean too heavily to think about technology and we don't think about creating a culture of innovation.
I think innovation is essentially continuous improvement of existing processes and platforms and product.
Right? It's got to be easy. It's got to be seamless.
Good morning and welcome to the Leadership and Insurance Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Bond, and I'm very lucky today to be joined by a friend of the pod, friend of FinPro, Stacey Brown, and president of InsurTech Hartford. Stacey, pleasure to see you on my podcast. It's something I've wanted to do for a little while, so thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Alex. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, look, I gave you a very brief introduction, but you're a man of many things. I've been lucky enough to share a stage time with you at some of the InsurTech events. Really enjoyed kind of those conversations. So I'm hoping we'll get a similar vein of that here. But, you know, I have the benefit of knowing you already, but it'd be great if you could introduce yourself. And obviously, you know, who is InsurTech Hartford? And
Sure. I'm Stacey Brown. I've been in the insurance industry for over 20 years. Like 99% of the people you talk to, that happened by accident. But I started in 2001 with Travelers Insurance and was always on the IT side, really was hands-on software developer when I first entered the industry, but wound up going down more of a management and leadership track and joined Excel Insurance. It was still called Excel at the time. It was like 2008. I spent 14 years there, but somewhere in the last several years, I started learning about this InsurTech trend, and I just wanted to be a part of what was going on in how it was shaping the industry. And at the time, I wasn't really finding anything to plug into, so I just started organizing meetings, and the meetings just kept growing, and it wound up becoming known as InsurTech Hartford. And it's been an organization that's been running for about 7 years now.
Amazing. And I can't believe I haven't managed to get to one yet, but we're going to resolve that shortly because you've got an event that's coming up, haven't you? We're doing this in good timing because your event is in the next few months or so. I can't remember the exact date. Yeah. You'll probably know that well.
Of course, yeah. So April 17 and 18 is our annual InsurTech Hartford Symposium. It's our biggest we put a lot into it. A lot of people come and get a lot out of it. So looking forward to seeing you there this year, Alex.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much. And thinking about get all the way back, I kind of want to get into this. We like the origin story. It's like, how small were these things when you kicked them off? Was it literally a meeting of minds in a room? Oh. Was it really humble beginnings? Or?
Well, first off, it took a while to happen because I knew I wanted to have a meeting of this sort, but trying to find a place to do it was difficult. I would, go in and talk to some of the restaurants around town, and they would say, well, the rental for this room in the back is like, $500. And then you have to buy off of this catering menu where everything comes in multiples of 12 and there's a minimum spend. And I'm like, man, I got to spend $2,000 just to hope somebody shows up. And I wasn't in it to build an event of any kind. I just wanted to have dialogue. I just didn't want to spend $2,000 out of my own pocket and have nobody show up. So it was really hard to kind of get it started. But the luck of the draw came when there was a co-working space opening up in town. And I met the founder there. Her name was Shauna Schlossberg. And I was talking with her and she's like, what you want to do sounds great. What do you need? I'm like, well, I need space. And she's like, well, I've got space. And of course she was happy to have all the local, businesses and startups and corporates coming into her space. So it was like a really good win-win type of relationship. And that's how I was able to get started. And the first ever thing we did was actually a hackathon. It was on a Saturday. Students got on buses and came to Hartford on a Saturday morning. You know, they and I think we had about 20 something people, and I couldn't believe it. You know, I couldn't believe this many people showed up. And so for the next few meetings, they just, you know, kept getting bigger. We moved to evening networking events, and those kept growing as the word got out. And by 2019, we had our first symposium, and we had just under 300 people there. And it was such a great vibe. And we thought, oh, we want to do this again. And we also planned to launch our innovation challenge. Then the pandemic came along, right? And that kind of changed everything. And I had two choices, do or don't do at that point. So I decided to do, and I went online. And, you know, we started running these events online, and we were getting, you know, 500-600 people attending, and they were from all over the world. And it suddenly became a very different type of organization. Mm-hmm. And we launched our innovation challenge. It became a global innovation challenge. The whole thing is virtual. We still do it that way today. We've gone back to in-person events, though, since post-COVID is opened back up. And, you know, we have, this year will be our third post-COVID InsurTech Hartford Symposium. And we've done many events. We do at least four a year. In fact, that's just in Hartford. Last year, I you know, started taking the things that I've learned and tried helping build communities in other cities around the U.S., such as InsurTech Atlanta, which we actually have an event next week, or InsurTech Chicago, which we had earlier this week, or InsurTech New England was our latest start, and we were in the city of Boston, and that was last week. So, you know, so now we've kind of got this like cadence of events happening all over the place, but they're typically, you know, smaller evening networking events, and it's really the annual conference that kind of is the everything builds up to that, and it's like the glue that brings it all together.
Mm. So you fell into insurance, and then you fell into events via insurance. So face to face,
there is a pattern here. Thanks for noticing.
I think the biggest challenge that I see when I'm putting on a good conference, because we've all been to bad ones. I think the thing that I think must be a challenge is just to stay ahead of innovation, right? Because we're talking about InsurTech. To make it interesting, you need to kind of stay ahead of the curve and bring in the topics that people are talking about. But how do you do that? How does someone who's producing an InsurTech conference get ahead and stay ahead?
I think probably there's many ways, and different people do it differently. Mm-hmm. But I try to stay ahead in two places. One is on content, which is what I think you're asking about. And number two is on experience. And on the content side, I find just by pretty much staying active on LinkedIn and watching news and talking to people, I keep a really good pulse as to what's going on in the industry. I mean, having 20 plus years on the carrier side was helpful. And but you know what, things do change fast. So if you're not staying on top of things, you can fall off the wagon real easily. Like nowadays, there's so much discussion around AI. It seems like AI is everywhere, and our agenda reflects a lot of AI. It's not like we set out to build an AI conference, but there are several sessions, and it's kind of based on demand and what people want to talk about and what people want to hear about. So, so that's the other thing too, is we rely on, you know, on discussions and the moderators and the panelists that we work with to help shape the agenda. Cause we love working with the insurance carrier folks, because they're the practitioners, they're in the field, they know what's going on. And so that's a lot of the ways that we try to stay current on the content side. But on the experience side, it's a learn by doing, right? So I go to a lot of the events myself, and I make observations about what's working and what's not working. We have our own lessons learned as well. And, you know, so we're always evolving. And you know, people say like, oh, the InsurTech Hartford Symposium, I've been to that. Well, no, you haven't, because it's different every year. So although this year we're having it in the same venue we did last year, so there's a consistency point there. But, you know, we're really aiming for this integrated experience, we call it, right? We want to keep everybody and everything in the main exhibit hall, because that's one thing I hear a lot of people, you know, not really happy when like the exhibit hall's on this floor and the contents on that floor, because you get people that hang out in the exhibit hall all day and don't go to the content, and people that hang out in the content all day and don't go to the exhibit hall, right? So we put it all together into one place. And we've also experimenting heavily with our agenda this year. We're trying to create a more engaging experience for people. You know, a lot of people, you know, it seems like there's a trend in some of the larger conferences to see how many tracks you can have in parallel. And you can only be in one place at a time, so it leaves you having to pick and choose between a lot of things. And we this year are experimenting with just one stage. We have one stage. All the sessions are 15 to 25 minutes. So, you know, they're not too long. There's no time for people to ramble on about motherhood and apple pie. You've got 20 minutes or so to make an impact with what you have to say. Get up there and get to the point. And we'll get through a lot of topics this way, at more of an, let's call it executive format, by being able to tear through more content. So I think people will get a lot of value out of that, as opposed to, you know, having to pick between fewer, longer sessions. And in addition to that, though, we also are doing the roundtable and workshop thing. So this is an opportunity geared in priority for insurance carriers and insurance professionals to be able to join these small group conversations around different topics. And, you know, they could be about, you know, cloud and what's, you know, been successful about moving to cloud. There's a couple on AI, whether it's, you know, AI governance, or it's the use cases of what's working and not working. You know, there's an IoT workshop. So there's a number of, the workshops are actually meant to be learning opportunities as well. The people that are, we don't have too many of them, but we do have several. And the people that are putting them together are really expert on their topics. So, you know, we're really, you know, looking at the content as a learning opportunity, because that's what a lot of people come to events for. They really come to events for three things. And this is something else I've learned over time, right? Is they come to learn, they come to connect, and they come to just get out of the office and have a good time and have a change of pace, right? So I've come up with the three words: learn, connect, and unwind. And that's what I want everybody to do at our conference. So, you know, I've mentioned a lot about the learning and the way we're structuring the content, but we also do not take networking breaks. There's going to be a lunch break each day, and that's it. But networking is something that's constantly happening, right? We have a huge investment in our you know, networking lounge, which is the centerpiece of the whole event. And you know, we'll have the app for scheduling meetings and the tables for those meetings. So there's plenty of opportunity for networking throughout. And the unwind part is, you know, where that's why we're at Mohegan Sun. So it's a great venue. You know, not a lot of people know this, but it's actually the second largest casino in the U.S. outside of Las Vegas. But that's just the casino part, right? They're not, you can go there and spend 2 days there and not step foot in the casino. You know, unlike, you know, say you go to Vegas and it feels like everything you need to get to, you have to walk through a casino to get there. So they put their casinos at the opposite ends of the campus, and all the hotels and the foods and the shopping and the dining, all that is kind of in the middle. So unless you go to the far ends to go to a casino, you're not, like I said, you might spend 2 days there and not even step inside one. So it's a real entertainment complex and in a great relaxing place.
Good. You sold it to me. I'll definitely come. Although I do like a casino as well, so it's which probably doesn't surprise anyone. But I like entrepreneur risk taker likes casino gambling. It's a strange connection. But I mean, that's great. I mean, I think you're absolutely right, and I think there's the right balance. I quite like the idea of the kind of shorter, kind of more executive kind of forums, because I definitely, for me as well, like, you know, I'm a search consultant. 90% of my job when I'm at these events is to network. If I'm not lucky enough to be on a panel or be speaking, it's there. You are there to network. You know, I are there to meet people. And some of the frustrations I have is that the tracks can be so long, is that I watch 60% of one, and then I have to leave to go to a meeting, which has to be the priority. But of course, then I might miss the actual interesting conclusion that we get to. So it's an interesting format. We mentioned AI in that, you know, right at the start of what you just said. And, you know, there's a couple of different tracks. And I wondered, you know, the observations you've made and the tracks that you've made, what are the kind of like real focuses for AI that people seem to be kind of interested in? And I know you've got multiple tracks, so it might be difficult, but what are the kind of key themes related to AI that people really want to focus on at the moment?
Well, there's differences in how AI is being used, where it's being used on the underwriting side or on the marketing side. It's being used on the operations side for, you know, streamlining intake and things of that sort. Even people are starting to look at it for claims triage and claims, due diligence. So it's got a lot of use cases across the industry, whether you're talking about Gen AI or you're talking about computer vision, natural language processing. All these different forms of AI have many, many use cases. It feels like practically infinite what you can do with it. So there are tracks of just people talking about what they, you know, and this is like on the round tables, right? What are you doing with AI, and what lessons have you learned about what's working and what's not working, right? There's a whole bunch of backend side of AI. I'll call it the backend side, where, you know, you have to worry about the data and the data privacy and bias and data ethics in AI, right? So there's a whole bunch of different conversations to be had around that side of things. And then on the, there's also the technical end around data security and data governance. How do you protect and control all this stuff? And, you know, there's a lot of companies out there that are afraid to let their people use the tools. And so these people just wind up using their own personal accounts on these tools. And it's like, it's not stopping the data from getting out there. In fact, in some cases it might be even worse, but anyway, there's hopefully that gave you a little bit of the kind of breadth of the different areas that there are just on a topic like AI. Each one of those areas can be a conversation or a session in and of itself.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree. And it's I think some of the challenges I've been to with conferences is you know, like I often get put on a conference topic and panel, and it's going like talent in insurance or talent in insurtech, and I'm like, that is a, you know, that's a whole section. That's a whole conference in itself. And sometimes it's better to sort of narrow it down. And like, you know, one of the ones that I did, which I did enjoy, was importance of employer brand. But, you know, when we're talking about AI, it's so multifaceted that, yeah, exactly. I think it's important that you're breaking it down. I wanted to talk to you about the InsurTech Hartford Global Innovation Challenge. We mentioned it earlier a little briefly, but briefly kind of probably tell us what it is. And then, you know, what are you looking for this year? What's been the thing that you've been focused on?
Well, for this year, we are still in the process of naming those focuses. But the way it works is, you know, we work with insurance carriers to identify, problem areas or areas where they'd be interested in seeing solutions for. So that's the first step. And then we run a contest. We open up for submissions for about 6 weeks. and people can submit to one or multiple of the categories. So for example, I know Beasley Insurance 1 year sponsored a category of, I think it was, they called it best breach response solution. So data breach response solution. So they, you know, we receive submissions, they review the submissions and they pick the winner, and the winner gets a cash prize. So I know there are some challenges out there where, you know, it sounds like it's a big kitty, but if you win, you find out it's services from different service providers, and it's the value of those services that you're winning, which is helpful too, especially if you're an early stage company, you probably have a lot of things you need. But nobody ever is disappointed about winning cash. So that's why we focus on the cash. And so with that said, the awards are usually around $10,000. They're not game changing. We're not talking about game changing money, but the thing is, when you submit, because of the way we do this, when you submit to the challenge, the insurance carriers are reviewing the submissions. You're getting your company in front of the insurance carriers, whether you win or lose, at least they got to see you. And then if you're someone who's lucky enough to be down selected to the finalist level, the finalists get a lot of promotion, and building up to the main event, because the main event is when we have the finalists present about their company, and then the judges pick an overall winner, and the judges are made up from the insurance companies who are putting the prizes out. So the branding and the marketing that comes with just being a finalist is, I've heard from a lot of companies say that was pretty amazing, and never mind winning, right? And I know many of the companies that win have gone on to be quite successful. And I guess I haven't looked too recently, but I'm pretty sure every one of the winners is still in business today. So I think the process is does a pretty good job of down selecting and picking really solid companies. And yeah. It is a global contest because we run it all virtually. It's free to submit, and it's the hardest part is putting your deck together to attach, but the actual process of putting the data in the system it shouldn't take you more than 10 minutes. So it's free. It doesn't cost you much. You get in front of insurance carriers and potentially a lot more exposure and maybe even a cash award at the end. So, the whole.
Very nice. It's the Dragon's Den or Shark Tank of the InsurTech community, but a fixed amount of money, $10,000. So, I think that's something. It was something we're working on actually with a much smaller event company in the UK is. Not quite the same, but the review structure, and that seems to be the massive appeal, is that they've got carriers involved and they're looking for carrier solutions, and you know, just getting that exposure, which is, you know, why I made that kind of the joke about the Shark Tank or the Dragon's Den in the UK, which is that most people go on it because they want the promotion of being on it, because you get that airtime, and I can see how valuable that is. What about kind of airtime, like promotion. I think one of the things that you've been involved with, which I think is really interesting, is this influencer award that you do. And obviously, I'm a little bit disappointed I've never been nominated, Stacey, but you know, I'll try my best here. We'll see how I can get on. But you know, joking aside, I just thought it was interesting to ask, like, why you think it's important? Like, why is it something that we should focus on? That who's actually kind of influencing online? Or, yeah, why does it matter?
Oh, that's a good question. So there are probably a few reasons. One, in insurance, our corporate structures, there's always a hierarchy in place. But if you've been around the block, you know that there's the org chart, and then there's the way work gets done and decisions are made, right? And there's always influential people in that process. And a lot of times they don't necessarily get the the recognition. And then it's the same thing out in the in the open world. So now with social media, you know, being an influencer is become a thing that people are putting the time and the effort and the energy into doing it. And it's and these people who are the influencers, I believe, are doing a great job of number one, raising awareness about things happening within the industry, which helps the industry. And number two, kind of creating a little bit of a culture or a vibe that is more attractive to the next generation, right? You know, being an influencer on social media and stuff is kind of a cool, in my mind, like a cool thing to do, right? So there's people out there that are doing it, and what other than the joy of doing it, and what kind of recognition do they get for it? Not a whole lot, right? So I thought, you know, why not have an awards program for these people that has nothing to do with your title, has nothing to do with your logo. It's more about how people feel about the content that you're contributing to these online communities, and the impact that they see you making to the industry. So we call it the Making Waves Award. And it's called that because it's for people who are making waves in our industry, right? They're like the little speedboats on the river that are throwing the waves as the big ships slowly go up, you know, go with the current. So, yeah, we just felt like it was a good fitting title for the award. And, but that's why we give it.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea. And you know, I obviously I'm sort of slightly vested in this world of, trying to kind of put content out there and bring new ideas and innovation to the front. But, and I think even better is when we get the, so what it typically seems to kind of promote is the real kind of practitioners within it that are kind of explaining it. And I think it's important. I mean, for a long time, one of the conversations we constantly have about talent is how bad insurance is at explaining what it does and who it's for and, you know, what opportunities there are. And, you joked at the start saying you fell into insurance. I did exactly the same. I have no connection with insurance in my family. I walked into a carrier called RSA's office because it was in my hometown, and they had an open day, and they were seemingly giving jobs away, and I desperately wanted a job before my degree classification came out because I didn't think I'd done as well as my parents would have hoped. So that's the thing, we fall into it because we're probably not doing enough to promote, and I think that's I think it's a great initiative. Finally, I'm really conscious of time, actually, it's flown by, and I thought it would be, but another friend of Finpro in the pod is David Gritz. You and he are very long term collaborators, and you're always up to something. So, what's the latest initiative that you guys are working on? What are you up to at the moment?
So, Dave and I, we've known each other for a number of years, and a few years ago, we were having a conversation, and it was actually Dave's original idea. To have something where we bring startups and investors together for skiing and make kind of an event around it, and so I said, that sounds great, let's do it together. And the only thing is I got to learn how to ski because I had never skied in my life, so I was like 50 years old trying to learn how to ski. And but that became like the first thing, and we gave it a name. We called it the InsurTech Investor and Founder Forum. And that became something that now it could transcend different types of events, different types of activities. And so as it stands today, we do it twice a year. In the winter, we call it InsurTech Slopes, and it's usually around skiing. This year, we had our first InsurTech Slopes in Europe. We went to Verbier, Switzerland. As well as doing one in the U.S. In Big Sky, Montana, but it was our third year doing slopes events. But our next event is going to come up this June. It's called InsurTech Rapids, and it's whitewater rafting. And you know, we name it after the relationship building activity, but there is actually a good solid business component. The first day is all sessions where we bring in speakers, that have content that is helpful to startups and investors. We also do some activities to start bringing these people together and start learning from each other. Then we have dinner in the evening, and then the next day is the activity day. So at InsurTech Rapids, we'll be whitewater rafting down the, I think it's the Snake River, in coming out of Yellowstone in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So beautiful part of the country, beautiful time of the year. And we find that this extra level of bonding is super important for deal making. And so we've heard many stories of deals that were made from people that met at one of our events. Last year we did InsurTech Trails in the summer, where we went to Snowmass, Colorado, and we saw a rodeo. We went to a ranch, and people were shooting guns and riding horses and all kinds of fun stuff. All the safe things that us insurance people would like to see us doing, of course, in very safe ways.
I was thinking about that. How sure that is. The most fun I've had at an event so far is I went to MENA InsurTech, and we went on a sand dune safari, and we went sand surfing as well. But it was fun, and it really worked, and it really helps the bonding. So I think it's a really valuable thing to do. My good friend Matt Conley was on one of your skiing trips actually as well, and he reported back very positively. So yeah, I hear firsthand the very good things. Stacey, I could talk to you for hours, and I'm looking forward to our opportunity to catch up at the event itself. I would urge everyone to look the events up, because they are a little bit different, and I think they're all on there. InsurTech Hartford will include obviously the links to that in the link to the podcast. But Stacey, thank you so much for giving me the time today. I really appreciate you being a guest on the pod.
Thanks, Alex. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thank you.